We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
The Big Five is brought to you by Penske Lincoln in La Mesa. Good looks, elegance, sophistication. That's what it's like to drive a Lincoln. And Penske Lincoln in La Mesa makes it uncomplicated and easy. Penske Lincoln, 8850 Grossmont Boulevard. No topics on the cutting room floor today, but I think we got some strong topics.
Number five.
And we talked about it yesterday. Manny Machado's response to whether or not he was worried by getting swept by the Dodgers. Here's how it went on Sunday in the clubhouse after the game. He was asked, "Are you concerned?" He said, "Why would I be concerned? Not at all." What gave him that confidence? They asked him why he wasn't concerned. He said, "I'm bleeping Manny Machado." So the Padres are now in the midst of a five-game losing streak and have very little offense. But, Tony, was this the right time to say this?
Yes. Did we say this yesterday? Yes, it was the right time to say it. And the same remains to be true. This isn't – and I know it's really hard, but this is not football, right, where you lose, you know, a couple games in a 17 – is it 17 or 18?
18 weeks played
in those weeks. It's not the same. And so 1 week where the Padres go 6-2, the next week, the next eight games, they've gone 0-5. So from 1 week to the next, it changes. Would you like to not see an 0-5 stretch? Absolutely. Absolutely. But it does happen, and it happens to more of the teams than not. So, you know, I tend to try to keep that in perspective. It's a game at a time. They lost yesterday. Good game. It was a bang-bang play that gave them the L, ultimately. Are there other ailing issues that they're trying to fix? Yes. No doubt. The offense has been inconsistent. And listen, it could be that way as these new pieces start to get comfortable again. I don't certainly think Juan Soto is there yet. I certainly don't think Josh Bell is there yet. You could argue Brandon Drury is the one that probably seems to have been the most comfortable and seamlessly has fit.
Yeah.
In terms of the production. I mean, Soto's still gotten on base every single game that he's been a Padre. And he's done it multiple times.
Made some good defensive plays as well.
Made some nice defensive plays. So, all is not lost. You just have to keep it in perspective. The five games in a row is painful, but absolutely Manny's message was needed at that time, and it was well said.
Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I think to the outside looking in, people might wonder why would somebody be so confident in the midst of a losing streak. But from the inside that clubhouse, inside that locker room, I think it was the perfect thing to say, and I think it was the perfect time to say it. I think you've got to show strength and confidence during the toughest of times. That's when your leaders need to step up and be leaders. And to me, that statement was one made by a leader telling the rest of his guys, "Hey, don't worry, I got you. We're going to be fine. We're going to make it through this." I think what he said was great. I think the timing was absolutely perfect. It didn't pan out in a victory last night. But eventually we're going to look back on that moment, I have a feeling, and think that was a key turning point moment for the stretch drive of this season.
Yeah, Greg Garcia was on with Ben Woods, former Padre, the other day, and he agreed with you guys. He said that was the perfect thing to say, and that's going to, you know, rally that those troops inside the clubhouse.
Eventually. Just not yet.
Number four.
Chris and I talked about this briefly yesterday. Kevin Durant is trying to get out of Brooklyn. Nets owner Joe Tsai and Durant recently met in London, ESPN sources confirmed, and Durant reiterated his desire to be traded and suggested the franchise needed to choose between him and coach Steve Nash and general manager Sean Marks. Tsai tweeted this last night, quote, "Our front office and coaching staff have my support. We will make decisions in the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets," end quote. At 33 years old, Durant has four more years on his contract with the Nets and $198 million left on that contract. Chris, what should Joe Tsai do?
I think what Joe Tsai should do in a perfect world is trade Kevin Durant to Sacramento. You know, somewhere like that, and say, hey, you really want to be traded so bad? We just worked out a trade for you. You're going to Sacramento. I remember once John Jefferson, the great wide receiver in the Dan Fouts era Chargers, demanded more money. Every single year he came in and asked the ownership, Gene Klein, for more money and promised that this year would be the last year that he asked for more money. And he did it one too many times. And that's when Gene Klein turned to the general manager, Johnny Sanders, and said, trade him to Green Bay immediately. Green Bay was the dregs of the league at the time, and it was probably the most undesirable place to go. And guess what? John Jefferson was traded to Green Bay. That's exactly what the Chargers did. They probably didn't get an equal thing in return for him. But
the Chargers? Tony's asking?
Yeah, it was the Chargers who traded him to Green Bay back in the day when Green Bay wasn't very good. But my point is, you know, Brooklyn's got to do what's best for Brooklyn, and you know, but I think what's best for Brooklyn is to make a deal. I wouldn't want a guy with this stature and this ability unhappy on my team, and I wouldn't want him being able to dictate whether or not I keep my coach and my general manager.
Who was the owner when this happened?
This was Gene Klein, way back before Spanos and whatnot took over. It was in the late 70s, early 80s. But John Jefferson came in one too many times. Said, I want more money. And they said,
that's enough.
Here's a trade. Here you go. Welcome to Green Bay.
Was he worth it to ask more money? Was he?
Yes. He was a great all-pro wide receiver. He was the,
That changes it for me.
He was the number one weapon that Dan Fouts had on those 79-1980 teams.
Now you're just doing it out of spite at that point.
That's right. That's exactly how Gene Klein handled it.
Tony, what should Joe Tsai do here?
Wow. There's two different things I read from what he said. Or could be read from what he said, right? He said, the front office and coaching staff has my full support. We'll do what's in the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets. That could mean that the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets is doing exactly what is being levied, to just get rid of your coach. Who knows? I don't know. Mm. It also could mean that, you know, KD, you're fresh out of luck on this one. And if I was the ownership, I would call his bluff. Wouldn't trade him unless I got exactly what I thought was equal or better value. And if I couldn't get that, guess what? He signed to me for 4 years. This is the first year of the extension. It kicks in this year. And so I will call his bluff. Does he really love basketball? Is it enough for him to sit out and, you know, do the Ben Simmons deal? And by the way, that hasn't, I mean, in terms of optics, not only from the outside, but I think within the league, Ben Simmons doesn't look like all that great for doing what he did, right? I mean, it kind of backfired a little bit.
Yes,
I mean, he got out of the place he wanted to get to, but I feel like nothing's gotten easier at this point for him. So I would call his bluff. And if at some point I feel like it is hurting my organization hanging on to this piece that has decided, if KD decided he was going to sit out, then maybe I revisit it. But for the time being, I would call his bluff. Let's see if you're willing to sit out, because I'm not trading you because I'm not getting exactly what I want. Unless
I'm not
I got
getting
exactly
a new coach, which is what
right.
you want.
Right.
And a
right.
GM.
Because it's a dangerous game from an ownership standpoint to give in to that type of ultimatum.
I agree.
Right? Because now other players are watching, and the next superstar you bring in, that has this kind of talent, that may have the same type of mindset, he can hold you hostage too. And so, you know, I just think even if KD is right, I think from the ownership standpoint, it's a dangerous game to play, just abiding by whatever's being asked. Even if it may be in the best interest of you ultimately.
I said yesterday they got to stop that vicious cycle, which is players being unhappy, ask for trades, ownership has to give in.
The problem with that though, Scrabe, is that owners are doing it too. They're asking players to sit out and not play so that they can go. We know this with John Wall. They asked him not to play. And so once you do that, you kind of lose all high ground at that point, because it's like, well, why can you do it, but we can't?
Yeah. No, it's very complicated. Much more complicated than just saying no.
Right.
Number three.
Chris Sale's career has been much more complicated.
My man.
He has had an injury-plagued Red Sox tenure, and it's taken another weird turn. The left-hander is out for the rest of the season after fracturing his right wrist during a bike accident on Saturday. No one here knows anything about that. Sale underwent surgery on Monday, and Boston expects the 7-time All-Star to be ready for spring training. Sale was already sidelined after suffering a pinky fracture on a comeback against the Yankees on July 17th.
The word pinky is so.
You got to just give the guy a hand injury and help him out a little bit.
Sale was already sidelined after suffering a metatarsal break on a comebacker. In his second start of the season, he played catch on Friday. He was making his way back. Sale can actually opt out of the final 2 years of his $55 million of his contract this winter. So he's out for the rest of the season. Okay, well, this is not going to work well for me, Tony. He probably will not do this, but in good faith, should he opt out and rework his deal to help the Red Sox for their good faith in him?
You better go somewhere with this.
I had this conversation with Chris right before.
Dumb bleeping question.
I knew this was going to be a reaction.
Of course he's not going to give up $55
million. I know
he's
not, but he should.
Hey, you know what, guys? I've had such bad luck over the last 2 years. I think I'm going to give some of this money back. You know, it's the right thing to do. I think they give at least half. Maybe. What do you think? What do you guys think? How much should I give back?
Donate it to bicycle charity.
Bicycle charity, yes. Bicycle accidents charity.
Absolutely not. He is not opting out of 2 years, 55 remaining.
Chris, I know.
It's not going to happen. He needs to keep this money because he's got to pay for all the clubhouses and things he's going to destroy over the next 6 months while he's waiting to pitch again.
He can't, Chris. He has a broken wrist.
Well, he'll use the other hand and club stuff down to his left arm.
Accident
he has a broken pinky.
Was he riding a bike to the stadium?
I don't know what happened.
If it was a bicycle incident, I mean, I don't know. There's some clauses that have say you can't ride a bike. I know some guys ride their bikes, skateboards,
scooters,
non-car vehicles to the stadium sometimes.
I don't know. I saw one Padres player, I'm not going to name him, riding one of those little bird scooters one time.
This should just be a cautionary tale for the Red Sox and every other team in baseball. I mean, if you're going to go out and spend $55 million over a couple of years, a pitcher who's a Looney Tune, be prepared to maybe have to pay the price for it. I mean, they signed the contract. They agreed to give him this money. It's not on him to give it back.
True.
Number two.
You think he would renegotiate because of all the issues he's had?
Yeah.
No.
I told Chris this was going to happen. I predicted this reaction. So.
Yes, he did.
I just thought maybe it would be better for his conscience that. Mike, I just looked at the camera. Look at Tony. He's got his face looking at me, just shaking his head. Okay, we're going to move on to number two.
Number two.
Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers' use of the hallucinogenic drink ayahuasca during an offseason retreat isn't considered a violation of the NFL's drug policy. It is defined as a psychoactive beverage native to South America and is often used for religious, ritualistic or medicinal purposes.
This is unbelievable.
A psycho. Read that again.
Psychoactive beverage.
Who comes up with this terminology?
The NFL, to make it sound like that he doesn't need to be suspended.
Yeah.
NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy said Monday that it wouldn't have triggered a positive test result on either the substance abuse or performance-enhancing substance policies collectively bargained by the NFL and the PA. Chris, because Aaron Rodgers is allowed to use this hallucinogenic drink, the psychoactive beverage, should players be able to use marijuana products if Aaron Rodgers can use a psychedelic?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not sure exactly where I should go with this one.
Scrappy, you are on one today with these questions.
The guy's doing something to alter his state.
You yourself sound like you're on a bender with some of these questions.
I'm not on a bender.
I'm not exactly sure where the NFL should go with this. I think there's part of it, you know, tells me that, marijuana getting legalized throughout the country. Maybe it's time the NFL get with it. I think that they just don't want a bunch of potheads running around in their league, so they're trying to make it illegal and keep them from doing it. But it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that marijuana is illegal, but mushrooms are legal. That's how I hear it, even though it's psychoanalytic drugs or whatever you call it.
It's a psychoactive beverage.
Psychoactive beverage. I would much rather have my starting quarterback smoking a joint than having a psycho what?
Active beverage.
Yeah.
A hallucinogenic drink.
Yeah, that would be my choice. Would be, you know, Aaron, here's a joint. Go smoke it and come back to me a little
later. But it's not going
to
allow him to feel the 100 hands all over him.
Hey, the psychoanalytic drug, that would...
Yes, the psychoanalytic drug takes it to another level entirely.
Dude, yeah.
Man, you got the numbers in it, too?
Oh, yeah, he's seeing the numbers in his head. Just floating. Tony, what do you think? Players be able to use marijuana products if Aaron Rodgers can use a psychedelic?
I swear, I know you didn't say mushrooms, but that's exactly what I heard when you said psychedelic.
Yeah, you're right. I should phrase that if Aaron Rodgers is able to use a psychoactive beverage.
I'm with Chris on this. It makes no sense. If mushrooms are good. Ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca.
If ayahuasca's good.
Ayahuasca's stock has never been higher.
Man, I have never heard the word until much used until like the last 4 days.
Unfortunately, I've actually known a few people that do this, so.
Nevertheless, yes, if Aaron can get his ayahuasca on, let these guys get their lefties on.
They're lefties.
Yes.
All right. Lefties.
All right. I've never actually heard lefties, and I'm somewhat hip with it.
Let him
Someone
have.
Who's hip with
that's
it does not
really.
Say
that's like an old word.
Oh. Someone who's hip with it does not say I'm hip with it.
What he wanted to say was that if Aaron Rodgers can have his ayahuasca on, then the rest of the players ought to be able to take their Scooby snacks.
Scooby snacks. Right. Right. Because it's in a food way now too. So
that's right.
It is. Yeah, you're right.
Number one.
I'm glad we got to the bottom of that key
issue.
Yeah,
we really had to work hard, too.
This is the training camp headlines that we're looking at these days. I saw this around Masters time, but I'm not really sure why it's getting traction now. I saw it again this morning. Masters winner and world number one golfer, Scottie Scheffler, he still drives the same car he had in college, a Chevy Suburban with more than 175,000 miles on it, even though he's very rich now. So, Tony, what is the most miles you have ever had on a car that you've owned?
128. I just recently got rid of it.
Oh, okay. 128. That's a lot.
That's a lot. At least in my opinion, it's a lot.
Yeah, I think Chris, you go.
I don't know if I'm in Scottie Scheffler's league, but I was probably about 150 with my mom's Mustang, my original car that I got from her when I moved into college.
Oh, all right. Original Mustang. That's pretty
good. Yeah, it was a pretty sweet car, but it had a lot of mileage on it when it was turned over to me.
Well, you know, guys, my car, 100. and 89,000 I just hit the other day.
You're ahead of Scotty Scheffler. Yeah.
I am trying so hard at this point to get to 200,000 because this is a vehicle that is owned solely by Scrabies.
You might as well make it, and you come this close.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway. Get it to 200
I have
G's.
To. And I wish it would roll over. You know, when it all rolls over, because that's cool.
Go to zero.
Digital, but it's digital.
Nah,
so
not gonna happen.
It'll all change at the same time, but not roll over. Anyway, we are going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get you set for Game 2 between the Padres and the Giants here on 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.